At bestvolleyballvideos.com, we have over 150 hours of training videos developed specifically for the youth and high school age volleyball player. Please go to bestvolleyballvideos.com. Hello, everybody. A little over 2 years ago, I did a podcast on passing, kind of talking about the emphasis on moving away from some of the traditional fundamentals of passing, kind of address the midline issues. One of the things we hear a lot about in the volleyball world right now is, passers passing outside of midline, really not paying attention to maybe a lot of the fundamentals that some of us older coaches grew up with. And I wanted to revisit that because I think it's important. And so we're going to spend some time today talking about just midline passing, footwork for midline passing. And, you know, to me, the title of this is The Devil is in the Details. And so I want to get into what I think maybe some of the issues are. And again, I think one of the things that I said back in the previous podcast I did was I think part of the issues are messaging, not necessarily that we want to train passers differently, but I think one of the things that we want to think about is the information that we're giving out and the way coaches and players are taking that information. And one of the things that got me thinking about this was Jim Stone recently did a he's got a consulting, jimstoneconsulting.com, and he does some online information regularly about different topics in the junior volleyball world. And one of the things I wanted to delve into was he was talking about one of his sessions. He was talking about serving, and he basically, from the information he gathered when he was the USA youth national team coach over a period of, I think it was about 10 years, broke down where passers pass the best and where they struggle the most with passing. And he has a photo on the serving session about where passers pass the most. And it's over about, I think the research and the data that they've gathered is over 2,000 balls received or 2,000 serves received. And so one of the things that he has is he has the different breakdowns of where players pass the best and where they struggle the most. And on a 4-point scale, by far the best passing was done at midline. And on a 4 scale, the midline passing was a 2.91. And then lateral outside the midline to the left and to the right was anywhere between a 2.35 to a 2.48. Again, this is on a 4 scale. And so the midline and then outside the midline at hip level is where passers passed at the highest level. And where they seemed to struggle the most was the low ball in front. They're at a 2.0 out of 4. And then the low ball outside the right leg or left leg below the knees is at a 2.2 and a 2.08. And then the ball above the shoulders is at a 1.96. And the reason that, I looked at these numbers, and the reason these numbers, I think, have some clarity for me is because I think the way we want to look at the way we teach passing, it's pretty clear that, if you get a ball in your midline, you're going to pass the ball at a pretty high level. And so, and also if you get a ball at hip level outside the midline, you're still going to do a pretty good job of passing. And so one of the things that got me thinking about was, this movement in the United States to teach players to pass differently than maybe we were taught to teach passing as younger coaches got me thinking about, are we really doing the right things, and are we teaching the right things to young players? And because what's clear here is that the ball that's high above the shoulders or the ball that's low out in front are the two hardest balls to pass. So if you're going to get better at those two balls, then you're going to have to move your feet. You're going to have to move your feet either to back up, or you're going to have to move your feet to move forward. So, one of the arguments about going away from midline passing is that the serving's gotten so hard that, you just need to plant your feet and then reach with your arms. But, that really doesn't work on a high ball. It doesn't work on a low ball. It only works on the ball outside your midline to the right or outside your midline to the left. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. And if those statistics are true, which, you know, I have no reason to believe they're not. I mean, Jim had noted, I think it was over 2,000 balls, that 2,047 attempts right here is what it says. And again, four is perfect, three is in system, two is out of system, one's a free ball, and one's a zero is an error. If those stats are correct, then it tells me that you know, just standing in one place and passing out to the side, everybody's going to be pretty functional in that area. It's going to be when you have to move your feet that you're going to have to really, that you're really going to struggle. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about footwork for passing. And I think one of the things that, if we look at other sports, I mean, in almost other and volleyball too, we'll talk about volleyball, but you look at other sports, and footwork is so important in every area. And the reason footwork is important is because it gets you to the ball in any capacity, gets you to the ball. And if you look at, you know, basketball, if you look at football, if you look at baseball, I mean, you know, one of the things that we see a lot of now is we see these, this concept of this split step, or what I would call a pre-hop. And, you know, the pre-hop has been around forever. And, it, you know, in the United States, it kind of disappeared, then it came back. And now you see a split step for blocking, you see a split step for serve receive, the men use it on the jump serve, pretty much used all the time on defense now, because everybody knows that that concept of loading, creating a stretch reflex when you load prior to the ball being attacked, or if you're a blocker being hit, allows you to react quicker than if you're flat-footed and stopped. And so this idea of the split step, which is kind of coming back, it's back into vogue right now, but, you know, it really, it's the fastest way and the easiest way to move. And so, and if you think about baseball infielders now, you'll see softball and baseball player infield, as the ball is being pitched, all the infielders will take a pre-hopper, they'll load, and they'll put themselves in a position so they can move quickly to the ball that's to the right or to the left. And all of this is just generally geared towards allowing you to move quicker, to get yourself to a position to put the ball, put yourself in a better position to play the ball. And blockers want to move quicker because they want to get out to the hitter. They really want to get the ball in midline as blockers, because you want to get the ball between your hands, and so you can get squared up on the hitter. You know, and setters move quickly. They try to get off the net, get around the ball, so they can get the ball in their midline, so they can make the best set possible. So this midline concept, you know, infielders do it in baseball. You know, they want to move right or left. I mean, no infielder wants to backhand or forehand a ball if they can get the ball between their knees. And so this idea of midline passing in volleyball is pretty general, or pretty, you know, it's consistent with what we do in a lot of other sports. We try to get our feet to the ball, play the ball in the best position so we're the most comfortable. And so, you know, we always did that in volleyball. We always taught passing to try to move as quickly as we could, move as much as possible, and then when you've maximized your movement to the ball, then what you'll do is you'll stop and you'll create your platform to pass the ball. And then for some reason, I think over the last, you know, and again, I'm going to go back to what I said back, you know, in the fall of 21, where I think the messaging is the biggest issue. It's not necessarily the meaning of what people actually mean, but it's the message that people are receiving, is how, where the footwork to me is still extremely important for passing. And I was watching a YouTube video with Eric Shoji, who was the USA men's Libro, and he was evaluating some women's teams passing. And, you know, one of the things that he mentioned early on was, he mentioned that, you know, how important it was to move your feet, to get your feet. And a lot of times it's just that one step. But he talked about footwork and how important footwork was to put the platform in the best position. And I think that's one of the things that maybe we may be losing as coaches, is because, you know, I coached a player, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, and she had been to a college camp, and she said the college coach told her to not worry about moving her feet, to just move her arm side to side, but just keep her feet stopped, and then swing the arm side to side to pass. And, you know, to me, that, first of all, it's something I would never do with a young player. I would never do that. I would never ask a young player to learn how to pass that way, because the one thing that you want to do is you want to maximize footwork and moving to the ball in all the skills in volleyball, whether it's setting, whether it's attacking, whether it's blocking, whether it's passing. You want to put yourself in the best position to get your feet to the ball. And I think young players need to do that. And especially looking at this, you know, the statistics from Jim Stone, when he talked about the passing numbers for, you know, that they were seeing. Clearly, the high balls above the shoulders and the balls out in front of your they're going to require footwork. They're not going to require just swinging your arms and taking a ball laterally. You're going to have to go forward, or you're going to have to go backwards. And again, you know, the concept of being able to move your feet and put yourself in the best position possible, that's going to be really, really important. And I think one of the things that, you know, one of the things we hear a lot about is the fact that, you know, the USA has such great athletes, and you know, we have, you know, probably depth-wise, we have the best athletes in the world. But one of the things that you hear coaches talk a lot about is, you know, you hear the international coaches talk about it. You hear the even the USA coaches, I think, talk about it, is trying to find players who can pass the ball. And generally, that goes for the outside hitting positions because, you know, the Libros in this country do a lot of extra work. They do a lot of training. They spend a lot of time in their position work. They spend a lot of time in camps in the summer just working on pass and dig skills. But I think the consensus is that the USA outside hitters, you know, they don't pass very well, but they have great athletic ability for attacking and blocking in those other areas. But I think one of the reasons that you know, we are struggling with passing is because over the last, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, and we've kind of had this idea that we really don't need to move our feet to be a good passer, that the serving is just too difficult at the highest level, and that we just have to get better passing outside our midline. And, you know, I don't disagree with the fact that we've got to be good outside of our midline, but I also don't, I don't buy into this idea that, you know, at every level we should be trying to maximize the ability to move our feet as much as possible, because, you know, just a jab step or a quick step or a drop step or, you know, a step forward, you know, changes the angle of your platform, puts you in a better position to contact the ball. You know, those are all things I think that we have to look at to be, to put ourselves in that best position. That's kind of why I wanted to revisit this topic, because after seeing, you know, after seeing the statistics that, that Jim Stone had posted, it told me that while we were, you know, while we clearly, the serving is definitely harder, and while there's definitely more balls played laterally to the right and to the left, those aren't the most difficult balls that we're trying to pass. It's that low ball and that high ball, which is going to require footwork. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, when I was coaching at Sports Performance, and still today when I'm coaching the young players that I coach, you know, we want to spend a lot of time on movement. We want to move to the ball. We want to put ourselves in the best positions. You know, we're going to adapt to, you know, the ball when it comes. But take tennis. Tennis uses that pre-hop, you know, and, you know, the servers are serving, the men are serving at almost 150 miles an hour. So the ball gets on the tennis players extremely fast from, you know, not a great distance. And, you know, still they're trying to make just, you know, they use that loading mechanism to try to make, you know, the ability to move just a little bit quicker. You know, the blockers are trying to load and split step so they can move as quickly as possible to try to get to the ball. Even when they're going, you know, the X2 move, or when they're jumping off one leg blockers, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get out and square and try to get the ball closer to their midline for blocking. And so this midline concept, it's not just a passing concept, but more importantly, it's a consistent concept in fundamentals of skill. I mean, think about a basketball player. You drive, you try to square up to the rim, you try to face the rim, you get the rim in front of you. You know, you're not trying to throw the ball sideways up, you're not trying to hook shot it all the time, you're not trying to throw it up off one leg all the time, but as much as possible, you're going to get yourself square. And so again, this idea that we're going to have, you know, this, I think across all sports, you know, the ability to move our feet, and, you know, I'll use another skill, you know, take baseball, where the ball comes at 100 miles an hour from, you know, by the time it's released, it's less than 60 feet away when it's released with the pitcher to the hitter. But, you know, what you see is the batters are already loading. They're already starting to take a step with their feet to put themselves in the best position to try to time when they attack the ball. And so I think those things are really important. And so I want us as coaches to think about, you know, what are we doing in our gyms? Are we teaching footwork anymore? Or are we just sending our kids out there to pass balls with no systematic approach to the development of how they're going to move? I mean, if you think about a passer can move forward, a passer can move backward, a passer can move lateral, a passer can move diagonally back, a passer can move diagonally forward. Those are all things that a passer can do. And again, so you get, as you move in those different angles or planes, you put your platform in different positions because you're moving differently. And so one of the things I think you think about is, you know, how am I going to teach passing? And, you know, I think a lot of coaches who listen to this podcast, the podcast that I do, are high school or junior level coaches. And again, it goes back, everybody says it always comes back to pass and serve, which is true. But I want us to think about, what are we doing with our time in passing? Are we just bombing balls at our passers? Or take the baseball player. Okay, and I'll use baseball as an example. If you're a baseball player and you play 162 Major League Baseball games a year, plus you have the playoffs, you know, you get to bat 4 or 5 times a game. You get 2, 3, 4, 5 pitches. So you may swing at 10 pitches or 15 pitches in a game, but think about all the batting practice pitching that you swing at. And, you know, that's not full speed. It's repetition. It's less than full speed, but you're working on technique and your fundamental skills. You know, and think about a football wide receiver. You know, they run their routes with the quarterbacks, and all the passes that they catch that aren't live game like. You know, what they are is they're situational and they're technical. But, you know, you're doing that to try to create your skill level to play at the highest level possible, because, you know, you're not going to get targeted that many times when you play a real football game. You might catch 5 or 6 passes. You might have the ball thrown to you 10 or 12 times, but you may catch 50, 60, 70, 80 balls every day in practice because, you know, that's your training. And so another thing I think we have to think about is, you know, the amount of training that we're giving our passers. I mean, how many balls do your passers pass in practice? I mean, are they passing, you know, how many live serves do they pass? Do they pass? And the live serves might be at 60 or 70 or 80%. They may be working on, you're moving from the inside of the court to the outside. Or you may be working from the outside of the court to the inside of the court. You may be working from short to deep. You may be working from deep to short. You may be working diagonals, which I mentioned earlier. But what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position, though, however the ball comes to you as a passer in serve reception, you know, your body has practiced and has the ability to repeat that skill because you've done it enough times that you're comfortable doing it. And I think that's one of the issues. And when we go back to repetition, I think one of the things that you've heard me talk a lot about, and I know that across the country, most coaches are saying that the substitution rules in the United States are the reason that we don't have good passers. And if you can't pass, you're just subbed out when you play. And, you know, there is clearly some merit to that. But I think one of the things that also happens, and if you think about the opportunity and the liberal substitution rules, what they brought to this country in terms of, there's a reason that volleyball is so popular in the United States. And that's because we have a structure and a system where there's a lot of kids that have a chance to receive playing time on a pretty regular basis. I mean, it's not unusual for 8 or 9 or 10 kids to be able to play in any given set because there may be a couple of DSs. And again, a lot of people who are purists don't like that. But it's an undeniable fact that, you know, think about what college rosters would look like if there was a 1-6 sub rule. I mean, you got college teams right now carrying 20 people. How long are you going to keep a roster of 20? And how long will a club coach keep a roster of 12 to 14 if you've got a 1-6 sub rule, you know, in place? So I think the sub rules are, you know, maybe they're part of it. But I think maybe one of the bigger issues is that, and you've heard me talk about this a lot, and I think this in the skill of passing, it's one of the real issues. The U.S. development model is based on lots of play, but not lots of practice. And you've heard me say in the past, you know, probably way more than once, is that, you know, we love to play a lot in this country. We just don't like to practice a lot. But think about where young players would get your passing reps. I mean, if you play a game and you're, you know, let's say you're targeted in a match and you pass 10, 15 balls, you know, in a match, and maybe you play 2 or 3 matches a day. Let's say you pass 40 or 50 balls in a day at a tournament. but you could pass 200 or 300 balls every day at practice. And so one of the things that by having this system in place where players don't practice a lot of multiple days, especially young players, you really don't have the opportunities to develop that deep muscle memory for serve reception. And I think that's one of the things that is, could be just as big of an issue because we have, again, we've got great athletes in this country. But if you go back when those players were young, and, you know, Kelsey Robinson is probably one of the better outside hitter passers in the world. And, you know, Kelsey played in our club, and I had the privilege of coaching Kelsey for a few years. And, you know, she will tell you that when she was young, she passed almost every day, and she would pass a lot of balls every day. It wasn't a few balls, it was a lot of balls. And so by the time she was 17 or 18 years of age, you know, she had great first contact skills, especially serve receive skills. And I remember when she went to Tennessee before she went to Nebraska. I think at Tennessee as a freshman or a sophomore, I think she got hurt. She sprained an ankle, so wasn't able to really jump very much, but she became the libero for the team and just, you know, tore it up until she was healthy enough to get back to hitting. And I say, so I think part of our issue with this black mark on the United States that we don't have kids who pass well enough, I think it generally comes back to the fact that we don't practice passing well enough. I mean, our libros pass fine. I mean, we have a lot of libros that can pass fine. I'm not going to say they're the best passers in the world, but they're all really good passers. And the reason they're all normally really good passers is because, you know, the libros spend a lot of time on passing reps. They do a lot of extra work outside of practice on passing. You know, they'll go to camps and clinics and all that kind of stuff to work on passing. So generally, the libros will have a lot of passing repetition. Whereas, you know, the outside hitters who carry the biggest point scoring load for the passers, you know, a lot of times they don't have those reps. And so they'll get a lot of experience playing games, you know, and I've brought up in the past also as well, you know, a lot of clubs will practice 4 to 6 hours in a week, but they'll play, you know, they'll play 75 to 100 matches in the club season. They'll play another, you know, 30, 40, 50 matches in the high school season. So those attackers are getting a lot of swings in competition, but they really haven't put in the time with their serve reception. So I think that could be part of it. And, you know, the idea of me talking about passing again today is to try to get coaches to think about the fact that if we teach young players to move and to move quickly and to try to be as efficient as possible, and we incorporate this concept of movement into our training concepts and our training principles, you know, it's going to do nothing but benefit us. And I think one of the things that we look at as coaches is, you know, sometimes it's whatever the flavor of the month or the year is. And, you know, to me, it's just been, there's been a lot of talk over the last decade about passing and about the, you know, the ability to pass differently. And I think if you take the best passers in the world and you watch them pass, you know, you're going to see a mix of a lot of different styles. Whenever a player can, they're going to midline pass the ball, and they're probably going to midline pass the ball at a high level. I mean, nobody's ever going to not midline pass if they can. But one of the things I think when we take young players and tell them that midline, they want to try to avoid midline, or at least that's what they think they're hearing. They're hearing that we don't need to midline pass the ball because the ball's coming too fast. But clearly the ball's not coming too fast when you're 12 years old. It's not coming too fast when you're 14 years old. It's not even coming too fast when you're 18 years old. You know, the college kids serve hard, but there's still a lot of opportunities in college to either, you know, the serves aren't always exactly where they need to be, or it's really always possible to take one or two quick shuffle steps when the ball leaves the server's hand, put yourself in a better position to pass the ball. So it's one of the things that I think is coaches should think about is how much time do I spend in practice on passing footwork and, you know, just general footwork. And then, again, when I mentioned earlier, think about the ways a passer moves. Put a passer on the court, you can move forward, you can move backward, you can move lateral, you can move diagonal backward, you can move diagonal forward. You know, it's almost like a star. And, you know, we've done that with setters as well. If you've seen some of our videos, we have this star drill, we call it, because the setter is just moving set from all these different positions. Same thing with passers. Put the passer in a position so they, you know, maybe they drop step and they have to bring their platform at a different angle. They go forward, have to bring their platform to a different angle. But you always put yourself in that position because footwork will always be important. The fundamentals of these skills are never going to change. I mean, maybe at the highest level, the technical stuff changes, but the way we teach the youngest players to first play the game, it doesn't really matter what's happening at the Olympic level when you're 12 or 13 years old. What matters is do you have the greatest depth and variety of fundamental skills, you know, as a player? So as things change and become more difficult, the game becomes faster, you can adapt and you can and be able to, you know, improve yourself along the way because you have a very, very strong fundamental base. And to me, footwork is always going to be important. And I think serving is it's clear that serving is very hard right now. I mean, people look at serving as, you know, it's a way to score points. They serve the ball very hard. I mean, there's no question about that. But maybe as coaches, we should flip this dynamic and say we've got to spend more time on first step movement, or, you know, this split step load where we can get one or two steps in prior to the ball getting to us. Maybe we spend more time on that, you know, that passing movement. And I'm not talking about shuffling four or five steps, but I'm talking about, you know, one or two steps to the ball. Maybe we should spend more time in that. And again, I'm going to go back to you, and you're the only one that knows this as a coach. How much time do you spend in practice on moving? I mean, on defense, we talk about defense, so there's a lot of movement on defense because, you know, a lot of balls aren't hit right to you, so you've got to go get the ball. And on serve receive, a lot of the balls aren't served so hard that you can't move and get to the ball. So, you know, I think that's one of the things I wanted everybody to think about, and I wanted to revisit this topic because, you know, I think footwork it becomes very important. Midline passing, when you can pass midline, it seems to be the best way to pass, according to the statistics, which show it to be by far the best, where people have the most success if they can pass midline. And then, you know, we know now that people get in trouble when they have to move backwards or move forwards. And so if the weakest areas for passing are on the high ball and the low ball, short ball in front, then now moving becomes as more important because, you know, we know that, you know, to back up or to go forward, you're going to have to use your feet. And I think that's going to be one of the things that you know, we need to look at as coaches. So I urge everybody to kind of evaluate what you're doing in your own gyms and how everything looks to you and you know, the things that you're doing. And can your kids move left and right and pass? Can they move diagonal forward and backward and pass? I mean, are they equal in all those areas? And, you know, just to try to get everybody to think about what they're doing and can we do it better? And wishing everybody all the best. And again, we're going into a new year, and everybody stay safe during the winter, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.